Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to Stats and Cone here on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He's Grant Cone. Grant, happy Wednesday. Oh, boy. Grant's frozen right off the bat. This is how we're starting. So here's the quick behind the curtain thing. Before we started, Grant told me, hey, I might lose power in my building. And so if it does, it's going to get a little weird while I reconvene. And yet here we are 2 seconds into the show. And apparently Grant has lost power. All right, I think he's back now. Grant, can you hear me? I got a wave.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we are on a big delay. But obviously the power went off in your building, so we're going to work around it.
Sorry about that. I'm back. Let's talk sports. The power should come back in my house any minute. I promise. I talk to them. The people. The powers that be.
Did you explain that you are a very popular streamer and that you need electricity and power in your building to do your job?
It's really unfair. I told them I'm a famous streamer, that there are hundreds, literally hundreds of people dying to hear what I have to say today about Brandon Ayuk. And they didn't change their schedule. It really upset me.
That is very, very troubling. Well, while we stall quickly to give the people in your building time to get the power back up and get things up and running, let me just remind everybody, go vote right now in the 49ers Media Madness Bracket for 2024. It is up on our website, goldstandardniners.com. Today is the last day of voting for the opening round. So if you've got somebody that you want to vote for, make sure you get your vote in. The new round will start tomorrow, so we'll have eliminations. So head there now. Again, goldstandardniners.com. Vote for your favorite content creator. Grant, I know you've mobilized the army that you have, and you have a very comfortable lead right now over John Lund of KNBR.
Yeah, but, you know, things could change at a drop of a hat. Yeah, so I'm really just taking it one day at a time. And, you know, good luck to John Lund and everyone in the contest. I'm nervous. I didn't sleep well last night. I just want people to like me.
So there you go. Vote for Grant. Vote for me. Not going to lie. I would like to advance at least one round in my own tournament, please. And thank you. Now, let's get to some Brandon Ayuk stuff. There's trade rumors, of course. First, it was Jacksonville. Now it appears to be Pittsburgh, Grant. And the weird part about the Pittsburgh Steelers rumor is that out of the blue, for the first time since last April, Brandon Ayuk pops on Twitter and tweets at Mike Tomlin and says, they're saying we're twins. What do you think? Were you surprised by the Ayuk tweet?
I was surprised by the Ayuk tweet. And now that I've really looked at the pictures, I can see it. I can see it. It was Ayuk has the long hair, but he does have that same kind of jawline and the same beard. I totally see it. So maybe it had nothing to do with the reports that came out literally hours before that tweet. To me, it's like, it's an interesting way. Like, you want to create buzz. You want to be the center of the news, but you don't want to really incriminate yourself. So you can't like go on Twitter and say, I want to play for the Steelers or I hate the 49ers or whatever. You just do something cryptic. And then when people say, oh, does that mean Ayuk wants to play for the Steelers? He can be like, no, I was just talking about how we look alike. So you have plausible deniability, but I think anyone who understands the context of the offseason and his career knows that like it kind of felt like an icebreaker in a date. Like, hey, you know, what's your favorite thing to do on the weekend? I just felt like, you know, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah, I agree. It was a way to like, not I want to say lend credence, but like just the fact that he did something Steelers related right after the Steelers news broke. Like, I don't think that was an accident. I don't think it was just totally coincidental that he happened to tweet about the Steelers right after the Steelers rumors came out. If you're watching the stream, the 33rd team has a picture of Mike Tomlin and Brandon Ayuk next to each other. They do look similar. If you chop off the Ayuk dreads and you take off the Tomlin hat, I feel like they do look pretty similar.
They absolutely do. Can I just point something out? So Brandon Ayuk is not particularly active on Twitter, right? This is the first thing he's tweeted in a long time. You know who is particularly active on Twitter? Mike Tomlin. You know who hasn't responded to this tweet? Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting to me. Like, why did you leave Brandon Ayuk on red? To me, if this was just good-natured, you know, messing around, you could respond to him. But this is very close to tampering.
Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe he's like, yes. Look, I'm not potentially getting any of our draft picks messed up because of this stupid tweet from Brandon Ayuk. So maybe he's just leaving it alone.
That's why I feel like if there was nothing to see here, Tomlin could have responded. Ha ha ha. We do look similar. See you on the field next year. Good luck with the Niners. But no, radio silence. It's almost like, hey man, why don't you just text me and we could talk about this privately? Like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. That's the way I looked at it. Like, why is Tomlin leaving him on red? He has.
Travi86, I see your super chat. We're going to get to it, but I want to finish this Ayuk discussion before we do.
Yeah, it's important.
I will say this. AJ Brown was on the last year of his rookie deal. He had 2,000-yard seasons, and he got traded for pick 18 and pick 101. And then the Eagles immediately gave him a four-year contract for $100 million. The Steelers have
picked, say it again, 18 and what?
18 and 101.
Good knowledge.
The Steelers have picked 20 in the first round. They have 51, they have 84, they have 98. So if you're the 49ers, if this is a real thing, I tell Pittsburgh, I want 18 and I want 84. And then when they say no, I say, okay, give me
18 and 98. 98. 20 and 98. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2098. That works for me. Maybe a wide receiver as well, like one of their backups who isn't probably worth that much. But yeah, I guess number one option is keeping Brandon Ayuk. But if he's way too expensive, and again, there's another thing here that I don't think people are taking into account. What if he really doesn't want to play here anymore? Like, it might just be business. I know Debo made it seem like he requested a trade and he was really pissed and then he worked it out. He's friends with Kyle Shanahan, and it all worked out, and they're all buddy-buddy kumbaya. But, like, Ayuk's a little different. He seems like he's had grievances for years with this organization and that head coach. And now he's sort of like, I'm not going to use the word flirting, but he's sort of like, you know, cozying up to a coach on another team. I mean, it kind of seemed like he wants out.
Here's the weird part about it, right? If you look at the two teams, like, if I'm the 49ers, I'm like, hey, look, stay here. You'll compete for a Super Bowl. You know you're in a good offense. You just had a monster season for us. And we're probably going to get rid of Debo pretty soon. And so you're going to be the number one option. That seems like a bet. Like, if Ayuk wants to be this big, bad wide receiver, going to Pittsburgh is not the answer. You're going with Russell Wilson, who a team just paid $80 million in dead cap to get rid of. The Steelers offense has been hideously bad for years. There's nothing good about their offense right now. What is so attractive about the Steelers, especially over the 49ers?
That's a good point. That's a great point. And I don't think it's the quarterback. Like Russell Wilson, I don't know what you'd call him at this point. Is he still good? Hard to say. He put up good numbers last year. He throws a great deep ball. And Ayuk is a deep threat. So maybe there's something there. But Ayuk has a great connection with Purdy. This has nothing to do with Brock Purdy. Purdy gets in the ball. They seem to like each other. To me, this is either money or something personal between him and Kyle. And I can't prove it. But it seems like that relationship never really blossomed the way that the relationship between Kyle and Trent or Kyle and Debo is, you know, for life, according to those players. I don't know. It seems like I can sort of has his side of the story that he hasn't talked about and might be willing to. I don't know. Where is his allegiance right now? He feels wronged after the Super Bowl. He feels like he could have been the star, been the guy to deliver the Lombardi, and they didn't call his number. That's his feeling.
Do you think there's any lingering stuff from the whole doghouse incident and that whole deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Look. I just want to say I went out to dinner with Brandon Ayuk's mom in 2022, right before their playoff game against Green Bay. And it was just like it was weird how it happened. We were staying at the same hotel. I was going out to dinner and I went to the hotel bar to get a drink because the reservation wasn't for an hour and a half. She was at the other end talking to some Niner fans. And I was just eavesdropping because I'm a journalist. And I overheard her talking about Reno and Arizona State and Sierra College. And I was like, that's Ayuk's mom for sure. So I was like, excuse me, do you mind? So we're back. So she was like, I know who you are too. And she made it real clear right off the bat. Like, I appreciate that you didn't just go along with the team's narrative about the doghouse because they never explained why my son was in the doghouse. They kind of implied that he wasn't professional or wasn't working hard. You pushed back against that. Thank you. Because my son does work hard. He is professional. And every time I've ever seen Ayuk in practice, he's going as hard as he possibly can. So I just feel like, yeah, in that family, they probably don't forget that the coach, I mean, made him seem like he was an immature kid.
That's fascinating. That is very interesting. And things I did not expect to hear on the program, quote, I was out to dinner with Brandon Ayuk's mom. Really didn't expect that one on the show as Grant reboots his system here now that the power is back on in his apartment.
Give me a
second.
That's
really interesting. Because stuff like that does linger, right? There could still be hurt feelings there. And I would completely understand if Brandon Ayuk was like, now they're, you know, you quote unquote threw me in the doghouse. You blamed me for that. You made it look like I was unprofessional. Then I come back, I have a great year for you, or I produce, and you still don't throw me the ball in the Super Bowl when you know I'm your best wide receiver. Now you're not paying me? I'm out. I get that I understand all that. Everything goes into the stew when you're deciding where you're going to live and work for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years of your life. It all goes into the stew, every part of it. And I'm sure Brandon Ayuk's like, Kyle ain't going anywhere for a while. He just got a new deal. I get that if you're Brandon Ayuk. I don't love it because I think he's a good player, but I think it's part of it. I think that is a realistic scenario. I don't know that it's true. We don't know that it's true. He may love it in San Francisco, but I think what we just laid out there was a very realistic scenario. Stuntman, thank you for the super chat, says, what if we bring in a vet like OBJ if Brandon Ayuk walks? I think you got to be careful there because you're not getting the Giants Odell Beckham Jr. You're getting older, broken down Odell Beckham Jr. that's had like 1,000-yard game in the past 4 years or 1,000-yard season, whatever it is. 100-yard game, I think, since 2019. That's the Odell Beckham Jr. that you're getting. Now, if he wants to come in on the cheap and do like an incentive-based deal, maybe I consider it, maybe. The Niners have a lot of money invested in the wide receiver position. Debo Samuel's making a lot of money. Brandon Ayuk's going to make $14 million on the fifth-year option. Juwan Jennings got tendered at a second round. I think that's almost $5 million. That's a lot for your top three wide receivers. So unless OBJ is going to do it really cheap, and unless he's just fine with being, you know, competing with Juwan Jennings or maybe even being the fourth option, that's the only circumstance I would allow Odell Beckham Jr. to be on the 49ers, personally. That's just me. Chris H. says, Banana Hands doesn't deserve Brandon Ayuk. I don't know about that. I mean, he drafted him, so obviously he saw something in him. But it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing resolves itself. Harris says Odell Beckham Jr. is washed. I don't disagree with that, quite frankly. I think that you're better off. If you want another receiver, just get one in the draft. You've got 10 picks in the draft. I think that that is the better way to go as we welcome back Grant Cohn. Grant! Oh, you're shaking.
You know what
your
happened?
Head.
I was telling the story about my dinner with Brandon Ayuk's mom, and Brandon shut it down. He's a millionaire. He was like, no. It was a very wholesome dinner. All we did was talk about how much we like Brandon, honestly.
But wait a minute. You didn't originally have a reservation.
No.
Like, so how did
you
go from...
No, we were just talking at the bar, and we were both like, you know, we had a good time. I'm telling the story wrong. I just said, look, I have reservations. Are you doing anything? Would you like to come? I also invited the two fans she was talking to. So it wasn't just me and her. It was like me and four other people. It was fun. But she definitely showed appreciation for me being like, thank you for not just going along with their no explanation of why my son was not getting the ball. Because that made no sense. And they didn't explain it. I was like, yeah.
And they still are trying to sell that narrative. And it's crazy to me. Last Second Sports is here. What's up, Jesse? Says, speaking of Stu, I'm stewing over the matchup in the bracket. I didn't deserve that. People are constantly complaining about their matchups in the bracket.
Who do you get?
I'm just double checking. Here's the thing. I randomized it. So I didn't specifically. I absolutely did. I didn't specifically.
You have an axe to grind against Jesse. I've always known it.
Jesse's going up against Kyle Posey. That's a tough matchup in round one. I admit it.
That is a tough matchup.
It's Kyle's got a little bit of a lead right now. So Jesse, you better stuff the ballot box if you want to advance right now. Look, I heard
Kyle's got a big audience.
Al Sacco's mad because he's going up against Croc in round one. Like, somebody has to go up against people in round one.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Sorry. Guys, it's just a popularity contest. It's okay. We're going to be okay. We're all doing fine. I think what's cool about this is it sort of brings awareness to all of us. It makes us kind of that's the point of it, right? It's not really for one person to be elevated. It's for all of us to be in the conversation.
100%. That's why if you go to the website, you click on somebody's name, it brings up their Twitter feed. You could see their work. You could see where they're from. That's the whole point of everything.
Point.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to a couple.
What's cool. I feel like every year it becomes harder and harder to pick the 64 content creators because there's more and more and they're bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. Maxine LaFlamme says, one has to wonder what can get you in the doghouse on this team when jogging when you're not getting the ball doesn't. That is a clear reference to Deebo Samuel.
See, that's the question. What is why did I never get that kind of relationship with Kyle? Why did Deebo? Well, maybe it's not necessarily about how you practice, it's more about how you relate to the coach. And if that's the case, then I don't know where this is gonna go because I'm sure Ayuk is a little bit more quiet. I don't know he doesn't play those games. He doesn't seem like a networker like Deebo might have been.
You know? Yeah, Ayuk is definitely more of a quiet guy for sure. I think it's a fair question. I would love to hear somebody ask that to Kyle. I don't know if you're going to be. Are you going to be at the owners' meetings next week?
Yes, I will.
Ask him.
2 years ago, when people said, like, why are you confident you're going to work this out with Deebo? He was like, because I'm friends with Deebo and we haven't even talked yet. So, like, just let me be the closer on this one. And that was very powerful. But with Ayuk, is that really the case? Or do you just have leverage over this guy, and are you going to use it? Because they had leverage over DeForest Buckner, but they ultimately decided, like, you know what? We don't really want to go to war with a Pro Bowl player. We want to be seen as a player-friendly organization. We'll do right by you and trade you.
We'll see how it all works out with Brandon Ayuk. I think it's worth paying attention to. I don't rule out the possibility of a trade at all. I would say if he's on the team after the draft, I think that kind of settles it. I think that doesn't mean they'll extend him, but I think the odds of him getting traded after that are pretty slim to none. But if you told me on Thursday night of the draft or maybe Friday, all of a sudden, bam, there's a trade and Brandon Ayuk's gone, it wouldn't shock me at all.
No, and again, I think we sort of understand what the trade value is somewhere between pick
17 and 22. That those five picks. And remember, about 4 years ago, something like that, 4 years ago, the Bills traded pick 22 plus for Stephon Diggs and Vikings turn around Justin Jefferson. So that's kind of the area. It seems like if the Niners were to make this trade and they, let's say they get pick 20 from Pittsburgh, would they spend that pick on a wide receiver to replace Ayuk? Or would they use that as an opportunity to get, you know, their left tackle of the future or their right tackle of the present? Be interesting. That would be very interesting. I think they might go offensive line.
I think they should go offensive line. I really, really hope they do. I'll get to why I think they could wait in a minute, but I want to get to Travi because he's been waiting. Three questions. Were there good offensive linemen available in free agency? Has Brock Purdy been figured out or will he get better? And has Kyle been figured out? First question. Were there good offensive linemen available in free agency? Kind of.
There was some solid guy. Like the Rams got a starting guard, Jonah Jackson, Pro Bowler, but they made $60 million a year.
So right.
Yes, they're expensive. It seems like, look, you could say defensive line is more important than offensive line, but I think it's pretty inarguable that it's harder to find good offensive linemen than good defensive linemen. Like, 2 years, 20 million. You couldn't get the line for 2 years, 20 million. Like, just slightly, you know, better than average offensive linemen are making $15 million a year. So, yeah, they were available, and the Niners clearly want to save as much money as possible at this position group. And I don't understand why this is the one where they spare no expense at every other position, but quarterback and offensive line, two spots, the Niners are like, we got it for a nickel. We got it for a nickel at the Goodwill. It's amazing. Doesn't it look nice? A nickel.
Has Brock Purdy been figured out and will he get better? And has Kyle been figured out? This one I can't really explain. The 49ers are coming off a season where they scored the second most points and gained the second most yards in franchise history. Like, no, they haven't been figured out. They're doing just fine.
Well, I do think there's a book on them, but there's so much talent on the Niners offense that you really need to have a great defense to execute, you know, to show that you figured them out. Like, yeah, it's better to play man-to-man coverage against the Niners because Purdy throws so much anticipation that he can really bite you up if you're just playing zone. But to play man-to-man coverage against the Niners, you need like high-level corners and safeties and linebackers everywhere. And if you don't have it, then you're going to lose, even though you figured it out. So every time the Niners did face a top-level defense last year, offense kind of struggled.
Generally, you do worse against top-of-the-line defenses. I agree with what you're saying, though. It's like, you know, I know exactly how to guard LeBron James. All you got to do is move your feet and stay in front of him. It's like, yeah, that's great. But you know how many people can actually do it? Maybe like one on the planet. So I agree with you. There's a difference between knowing how to take down a scheme or slow down a scheme and actually being able to execute that. And very few teams were able to slow down the 49ers last
year. Well, that being said, the Chiefs were able to do it. The Ravens were able to do it. The Browns were able to do it. The Vikings were able to do it. Now, there were some injuries in there, but that's football.
But, I mean, the larger sample size.
Cincinnati was able to do it, surprisingly.
Ugh, but that Cincinnati game. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, they're going
all
down.
I'm saying is, like, when the Niners offense faces a mediocre to bad defense, it's like 35 points, looks great, everything's great. When they make a really good defense, you would expect the Niners offense to win that battle some of the time. I mean, I guess they made Dallas look bad. And I guess that's a good defense, but 17 points against ball, like, what was it, 17 against Cleveland, 19 four quarters against Kansas City? They could do a little bit better, especially because Brock's good. I keep coming back to the offensive line. There's only so much you can do with that offensive line, and it's going to hold you back against the best defenders in the league. Yes.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Nathan Reyes, thank you very much for the super chat. When Brock gets extended, can they win a Super Bowl without a juggernaut team around him? Won't be crazy money, but they are good because Brock is cheap. I'm maybe in the minority, Grant. I am not just lock it up, guarantee Brock's getting a new contract after next season. Like, what if he doesn't play that great next season? Or what if he gets hurt next season? Like, I don't just say right now, guarantee, book it, Brock Purdy's getting paid. Let's let the season play out and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading the chat and people said my internet was bad. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's been a little dicey, not going
to
lie.
Sorry, I mean, I think it's like trying to get itself back up to speed after it got shut down. I don't know. It's just one of those days. I'm having a bad day. I don't want to talk about it. It's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's already a bad day.
So I was just saying, I don't think that it's a guarantee that we're paying Brock after this season.
Oh, No, I want to talk about that. I do want to talk about that. I mean, he had a great regular season. Great regular season. MVP numbers. Not in the postseason, though. Like, his numbers in the postseason this past year were like very mid. Like, quarterback rating below 90 in every single game. He battled. He wasn't bad, but $55 million a year for a guy who was really average in the playoffs. I don't know. I think he still needs, he's got a whole other season to prove himself, but I think he needs like a big playoff performance to show that he might be the kind of guy who could carry a team.
There's certainly room to grow there. And Brock talked about how he wants to work on his mobility and he wants to work on his arm strength. Another question for Kyle that I'd love to hear asked at the league meetings is, did Brock come up with those on his own? Or is that with the team? And he talked about, like, in his exit interview, did that also come from the team? Because that'd be interesting to know whether or not it was just a Brock thing or whether the team told him, hey, you got to get better here.
I think probably Brock. Didn't last year they say they wanted him to be more in the pocket, to stay in the pocket? And this year he's saying he needs to scramble more? So that's kind of interesting. Like, did the team change their mind, or did Brock sort of become a little bit more a self-advocate? Like, you know, I have what I need to do for my career. This is what I need to do.
Maybe he overcompensated. Maybe he stayed in too much. You know, he's got to find the sort of happy medium there. We'll see a lot of people commenting on your internet. Matt McCune, Brother Bob had a super chat.
That's really great. Nah.
I appreciate that.
I could
just
go back to my hotspot, I guess.
Gene says, what is the trade value of Debo? Any offer yet? If Debo gets moved, I don't think it's going to be till after June 1st because the cap hit would just be massive. So I don't know. Are you hearing anything about that?
No, they would. I'm not hearing anything about that, but I agree. If they're going to trade Debo, it's going to be after June 1st. I mean, I think they made that pretty clear with the Armstead thing. Like, they're not going to take huge dead cap hit this year just to move off of a good player. Like, they'll wait until after June 1st. So I would agree. Although it just seems like if any wide receiver is getting traded, it's going to be Ayuk.
It seems like it's so much easier just from a financial standpoint. I saw a chart going to the draft and the offensive line about the top salaries for different positions and the average round that they were drafted in. And I have to say, it made me think that maybe the 49ers could wait a little bit, that they'd be able to actually bolster their offensive line in a really meaningful way in this draft. The tweet comes from Daniel Salib, I think is his name. I apologize if I got that wrong. It's a graph of the 10 highest paid players by position, and it shows the average draft round of those players. And like, some things you expect, right? The 10 highest paid interior defensive linemen, the average draft position is first round, pretty much. Same for right tackle, same for quarterback, same for left tackle, same for edge rusher. But then I look all the way at the bottom of the graph. The average of the top 10 centers in the league, they're the highest paid centers. Their average drafted round was 3.7. That tells me the 49ers could get a real starting center in round 3 or round 4. And that's not like a pipe dream. That's generally where they have come from. That is fantastic. If you're telling me the 49ers could get a tackle in round 1, they could get a guard at some other point, probably have to be a little earlier, but then they could wait till third round, fourth round to get a center, and not just like Spencer Burford type player, like an actual really good center. Then all of a sudden you're getting me super excited. Now I'm like, wait a minute. Now we could affect the offensive line in a real legitimate way. And more importantly for the 49ers, a cost-effective way. You're telling me we can get really good players for cheap, which I know everybody's talking about a couple of years from now and the Brock contract and how are we going to survive? Well, one way to do it, if you have a quarterback that is making a lot of money and maybe you do lose some of the weapons, if you have a really good offensive line, you're going to be okay. You'll be able to run the ball. You'll be able to give your quarterback time to throw to where, he, you know, some of those other guys are going to be able to have time to get open. So maybe that is a possibility. That can be sort of the transition that the 49ers have to make if they are going to pay Brock that money. Sort of like what the Chiefs have done, right? The Chiefs improved their offensive line. They let Mahomes be Mahomes, and he was able to have enough time to find those targets. So, Grant, I don't know if you heard a lot of that or if you want me to restate it quickly, but I think the Niners can really, really improve their team in a major way, realistically, in this draft.
Where would you go?
Well, I was looking at this graph here. And the 10 highest paid centers, their average round they were drafted in is 3.7. So if you're telling me you could potentially get a really good center late in the draft, give me a tackle in round one, and you give me a center in like round three, round four. Now you're telling me I've improved the offensive line at potentially two spots in one draft in 1 year. That could be a fantastic draft for the 49ers.
Absolutely. I'm interested in the left side of the chart where it says IDL and right tackle. Mm-hmm. It looks like a really good player at either one of those positions, probably drafting him in round one.
Yes.
And I think that's why we need to talk about the right tackle spot. It's a position the Niners don't want to invest in like that.
That's although, true.
They did draft Mike, and they did that a few months after making Jimmy Garoppolo the highest paid quarterback in the league. And to me, it's pretty obvious logic. Like, if you're going to have that kind of investment, at quarterback, protect your investment with some high-quality offensive linemen. And again, McGlinchey was a disappointment, but they haven't paid Brock yet, but he is their guy. And I think this is a great opportunity to protect him. It's a really good class of offensive tackles. They almost certainly can get a guy at 31 who's better than McKivitz. Like, do it.
I agree. I said when Trey Lance was drafted that every decision you make from that point on, once you think you got your guy, has to be to help that guy, has to be for the betterment of that quarterback, whoever it is. It was Lance back then. Now it appears to be Purdy. So let's go. Get your right tackle. Make Colton McKivitz a backup right tackle where he should be. Get your guy. Then you've got Trent. You've got your right tackle. You can get a center later in the draft. And now you're like, okay. Now let's go. We're building for the future, but we're also improving our team right now. It seems really obvious, but sometimes the 49ers don't do the obvious thing. And if they pick a defensive lineman in round one, Grant, I think there's going to be a revolt.
Yeah. And it's funny to me. I mean, I understand in the NFL with the salary cap, like you're going to have one position that isn't so strong. One position where you're trying to save a little bit of money. I get it. And offensive line, I get it. I mean, if you don't have a great quarterback, why are you spending a lot of money on your offensive line when you should be spending it on whatever, defense? But when you do have a really good quarterback, the best quarterback you've had in decades, why would you want the weakest position on your team to be on the offense? The position that's supposed to protect him. Like, can't you cut corners somewhere else? Running back, defense, offensive line is where you want to cut the corner when your quarterback is potentially special. It doesn't make any sense. It feels like this is, I get last year the Niners being like, look, we really don't know about Brock. He's played a half a season. He's coming off an injury. Like, let's not change our philosophy too much. But now he was just an MVP candidate. Like, protect him.
And if they do, I assume you'll be throwing nothing but bouquets on Thursday night after the draft.
No, then I'll have an issue with I won't like the offensive tackle they took. They'll take the long tackle.
Right. Yeah. That'll
I be told them to take that guy.
It's interesting, too, because there's supposedly this draft is full of offensive linemen. Again, I'm not a draft expert. I don't pretend to be a draft expert. I will talk to one later in the week. But I could see if the Niners stay at 31, I could see a lot of teams making them trade offers because there's a lot of teams that want to move up to the back end of round one because if you draft a guy, you get that extra year in the contract because of the CBA. So if the Niners think, hey, there's still a bunch of offensive linemen that we like, we might trade down and get more picks and get out of the first round, in which case, again, I think they would be people freaking out.
I would actually look at it the other way. That could happen. But with 11 picks, what are they at 10 now? They traded 10 one from now. Malik Collins. You have 10 picks. That's still maybe more than they need. If there's an offensive tackle they like and he's within their range, they might trade up a few spots to get him, like they traded up for Brandon Ayuk 4 years ago.
That's what I hope they do. I hope that they, because there's not 10 spots on this team. There's just not. So use those picks, move up in the draft, and figure it out. And by the way, I'll talk with Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros, who's one of the experts in the draft and breaking it all down. I'm going to talk to him on Friday. So I'm really looking forward to that. Because again, I don't pretend to know any of these people. I have no freaking clue. So let's, you know, like to talk to somebody who knows a little more than me. So that's going to happen on Friday. What else do you want to know from John and Shanahan at the league meetings next week?
I'd like to know about these clerical errors that cost them a fifth round pick.
Yes. Like
Mike Silver made the point on Twitter. Hey, am I here? You got me still?
I got you.
Here? Okay. Mike Silver made the point on Twitter, like if it were just a clerical error, which is how the Niners portrayed it, they probably wouldn't have lost a fifth round pick. Losing a fifth round pick feels significant. And I guess it's not in the league's interest or the team's interest to explain what happened, because that's really peeking behind the curtain of what is and isn't allowed in this league. I don't think the league needs people to know this is between them and the Niners. But I'd like to know, like, what happened? What were these clerical errors? That's part of it. Also, I guess we need to talk about, like, why Nick Sorensen? Why Brandon Staley? Why is this combination going to work? Like, all the stuff that they've done the last month or so that we haven't been able to ask them about.
Mike Florio and Chris Sims were talking about those clerical errors on PFT Live recently, and Florio brought up a good point. When the Falcons got caught deliberately pumping in fake crowd noise on purpose, specifically to gain an advantage, they lost a fifth round pick and they were fined $350,000.
Oh, similar.
The 49ers, by all accounts, according to the league and the 49ers, accidentally made a mistake. Never were over the cap, weren't trying to deceive anybody or break the rules, and they lost a fifth round pick, and their fourth round pick got bumped to the end of the fourth round. So why is it that the 49ers were punished more harshly for an accident than the Falcons were for doing something on purpose?
Well, I mean, the way that the league and the Niners are making this seem is that it was, you know, maybe a decimal point was put in the wrong spot, and maybe the numbers that they gave the league were a little incorrect, but it was an honest mistake. And, you know, it didn't give them a competitive advantage and they were still under the cap. But if you're being really cynical and you don't think that you're getting the real story and you're wondering why there was this significant penalty without a real explanation, you could wonder, like, well, maybe it did give them a competitive advantage. Like maybe they were over the cap. Maybe the Niners were actually over the cap and had some creative accounting to make themselves under the cap. Like, that would be a scandal. I don't think the league would even want people to know that that could happen. So I don't know. I don't know. But that's one way to, that's one conspiracy theory. If we're going, what did we do last week? Was it like completely irresponsible conspiracy theory hour? There it is.
Irresponsible
there
speculation.
You go.
Well, all right. Since we're going to play that game, I'll say this. Falcons president Rich McKay is on the competition committee. He's one of the most influential executives in the NFL. Maybe the league took it easy on the Falcons because of Rich McKay's relationship with the league. That's entirely possible too. But again, I'm not saying that's what happened, but we are irresponsibly speculating here on the show for the second week in a row, which I greatly enjoy.
It's a lot of fun.
Maybe that's
as long as you label it, it's okay.
Right. We could say whatever we want, right? Let's get to a couple super chats here. Gene J says Kyle Shanahan needs to look at Green Bay and Seattle, three rookies last year. Green Bay is one of the youngest friggin' teams I've ever seen. I thought I saw something the other day that said they don't have a player over 28 on their team, which is wild.
Meanwhile, the Niners are signing 31-year-olds like they're going out of style.
I think they're in a different places in their sort of team building. But I like everything the 49ers have done this offseason, Grant. I like all the moves they have made. They are not locked into any bad contracts going forward. Most of all their moves have been two-year deals. And I think they went into it with a very clear plan of let's add depth. Let's get consistency. Whether it's, you know, older guys, that's okay. But we want consistent, solid production. And I think they've done that.
Well, they kicked off their offseason releasing Armstead. And that was shocking. And I think they were trying to make a point. like we are no longer going to be overspending for players who aren't on the field consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not doing that anymore. And if you won't do it for Armstead, then you can't do it for any incoming free agents. So everyone they brought in, it seems to be cost effective and durable-ish. Except for Devondre Campbell, who wasn't their first pick. And I'm not trying to make something like, you know, I'm not trying to make him a punchline, but that Devondre Campbell, that signing doesn't seem good enough. It doesn't seem like it's enough. He seems like a big downgrade from Eric Kendricks and Dre Greenlaw. I think they need another linebacker. Maybe I'm wrong.
I agree. Like clearly he wasn't their first choice. Their first choice was Eric Kendricks. This draft apparently reportedly is not a very good linebacker draft either. So they may.
Darn.
I know. Sort of have.
Hey, maybe D Winters is that guy. He better be.
Well, that's the frustrating thing, right? It's like, what do we need? Well, we need a linebacker and we need a backup tight end. Well, okay. You took two linebackers last year and you took two tight ends last year. And yet why are you still looking?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't have much hope for Cam Latu, but D Winters, I'm open-minded. Maybe he's the guy.
I hope so. It would certainly be nice if you're watching the stream.
I don't think it's Flanagan Fowles or Curtis Robinson or Keith. What's the new guy's name? Hold on. Where is he? Ezekiel Turner. I don't know why I thought his name was Keith. Ezekiel Turner. It's not him.
Yeah, if you're watching on the stream, you can see the additions, departures, returns from the 49ers offseason. That graphic took me way too long to make, by the way. I'm terrible
at graphics.
It's
really well put together and nice. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
They re-signed Chris Conley? No offense, but...
Yes.
Why?
It was a one-year deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
He knows the system.
I honestly think it's because, if you really ask me, like, they thought they needed a wide receiver, right? So they bring in Conley so that they go into the draft next month feeling like, there is no area we have to go to where if we suddenly missed out, oh no, we'd be in big trouble. I think they think that. Whether or not you agree is a separate issue, but I think if you ask them, they would say, our offensive line is back from this year. We got receivers in here that we trust. We don't have to go anywhere. We can let the draft come to us.
Yeah, because you got 31-year-old Chris Conley. You really, you're good. No, I don't know. Chris, he had a nice catch in the Super Bowl, so good for him. But I don't know. They could get a little younger. They could get a little younger. I feel like they've just been throwing away their draft picks the last few years, picking players and not really committing to developing them. I don't know. But
The development issue for me is worrisome because I feel like Kyle has zero tolerance for rookie mistakes. So when they make a mistake, he's like, Logan Ryan, you're in. Jair Brown, you're out. And it's like,
you know who else was like this as a coach? A guy who really didn't trust young players and kind of always had an older team. John Gruden.
And who did Kyle grow up under?
John Gruden. Kyle's better than Gruden, although Gruden did win a Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, Gruden got kind of stale. He's kind of a control freak. And people caught up to him eventually. So Kyle, don't become John Gruden.
For a variety of reasons.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, definitely not. I think offensive line, obviously, is a spot where they still want to improve. Corner, they need a nickel corner still, because I don't think Isaac Yiadom is like definitely going to be that guy.
Right.
And I saw that you wrote something recently about Tre'Davious White, the possibility of Tre'Davious White. Certainly a player who, when he's on the field, can be a factor. But he's missed, 10 games over, or he's played only 10 games last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the theme of the Niners off season is to not sign players like him. But the thing about Tre'Davious White is he won't be expensive. This kind of reminds me of when the Niners signed Richard Sherman. He was coming off a torn Achilles. They brought him in. They were confident. I mean, he wasn't prime Richard Sherman, but he did have a Pro Bowl year on the Niners, and they went to the Super Bowl with him on the field. So I could see them thinking, hey, if it worked with him, why not Tre'Davious White? He'll be a relative bargain. They don't want to spend big at cornerback anyway, considering they're playing zone most of the time. I could see him doing it. I mean, he's still available for the right price. Yeah, I could see the Niners doing this.
Richard Sherman played way better than I thought he was going to play. I was so skeptical of that signing. Here's the scary part for me of Tre'Davious White. Not only is he coming off an Achilles, but he also tore the ACL in his other leg a couple years previously. Yikes. So now it's like
Clay Thompson.
Right. Like, that is a horrible combination for a position where speed and change of direction are obviously important. I'm not saying he can't come back. I think he's 29, so it's not like he's super old, but those are major, major injuries. So can you put a guy through a workout? I mean, I guess maybe they could. I would be skeptical.
Yeah. And with the problem with him is he might look great in a workout. He might look great in training camp in preseason, but how long is his body going to hold up? If he only gives you 5 games, and then you're essentially, you put yourself in a situation where your number three cornerback again is Ambry Thomas. Like, that's not what you want. So that's the thing about bringing in someone like Tre'Davious White. You might be bringing in nothing, in which case you set your team back. So the Niners haven't been making risks like that this year. They want someone who's going to be on the field for 17 games or has that kind of track record. I wouldn't expect him to sign Tre'Davious White. And that's cool. I think they've taken these kind of risks for a long time. I think it's time that they value durability.
I would agree. And obviously nothing's guaranteed, but you can only go off the information you have. Leonard Floyd hasn't missed a game in 6 years. Yes, I trust that. You know, Tre'Davious White, maybe not so much. So, but look, this is also the team that kept bringing Jason Verrett back. So who the hell knows? I mean, certainly maybe if he wants to play for the league minimum, maybe you take a flyer. But other than that, I wouldn't do it.
Right. Maybe their experience with Jason Verrett would lead them away from Tre'Davious White. Like, you know what? It doesn't always work out, even if the player really, really is a good competitor, used to be great. Sometimes the body just breaks down.
Matt McCune, YouTube channel member. Shout out to Matt and all our YouTube channel members, by the way. Please sign up. It's less than $3 a month. It's a great way to support the channel. Matt says, most mocks I've seen says we take Chop Robinson at 31. I've seen that, the defensive lineman. Great name. Definitely a first-round draft pick name.
I don't see it. I think we're underestimating how much Brandon Staley likes Leonard Floyd. Like, Brandon Staley kind of developed Leonard Floyd in Chicago and then brought him to the Rams. And now I think he was like the Niners' first target this offseason. I think the Niners believe in Leonard Floyd. And frankly, I like him. I think he's a good player. I'd be surprised. I think they're more likely to take a corner in round one or an offensive tackle. Like, we're just talking about Tre'Davious White. If the Niners could get a legit corner who's good against the run and the pass, I think they would take that guy there.
I would agree. Especially because you don't know what's going to happen with Mooney Ward, too. He wants a new deal. You know, if you draft a guy who's a friggin' stud and he all of a sudden is fantastic, then it's easier to let Mooney Ward go if you decide to do that. Or it's easier to take a very firm stance in negotiations with Mooney Ward if you feel like you have somebody that can fill his shoes already on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, they have two really good corners, but they don't have much after that. And having one liability in the secondary is too much in today's NFL. Like, you will get exposed. So I can definitely see the Niners taking a corner.
We have seen liabilities in the Niners secondary get targeted. Gene says there was a report that the Niners asked the Jags for 17 and Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk.
There was.
That was Mia O'Brien, who covers the Jags for 1010XL in Jacksonville. I think that the 49ers are basically telling you, blow us away with a deal and maybe we'll consider it. But other than that, leave us alone for now. And look, maybe a team in the draft gets desperate. Maybe Ayuk doesn't get traded until day three of the draft, when teams feel like, oh no, all the receivers are off the board, so now we'll make a move for Brandon Ayuk. The only problem with that is you're probably going to have to trade Ayuk for a player at that point, because the Niners are going to want something that helps them this year.
When did the Titans trade AJ Brown? Day of the draft? Day before the draft? Day of the draft?
Oh. Good question. I don't remember.
April 28th, 2022. So, like, right before the draft or during the draft. So, I think if Brandon Ayuk gets traded, it'll be something like that in a month.
And the AJ Brown, like, I was arguing with Michelle last week. I think the 49ers should absolutely ask for the same deal that AJ Brown got traded for. She thought that AJ Brown was a better player than Brandon Ayuk, but if you look statistically, you could make the argument that Ayuk's been more productive in an offense that throws the ball, that doesn't throw the ball a lot too. So I think if you trade Ayuk, you can't get less than what the Titans got for AJ Brown.
I think the Steelers are really smart to be interested in Brandon Ayuk. If I were the general manager of another team and I needed a wide receiver, I'd be all over this. Because to me, whatever the Niners are asking for Brandon Ayuk, whatever he's asking is probably less than he's worth, because they haven't featured him the way he deserves to be featured. So I think you're almost getting like an asset whose best years are ahead of him. And you can, like what the Niners did with McCaffrey, trade him for, you know, get him for a few mid-round picks and just give him the ball all the freaking time. And up, move justified. The Steelers could do that. Absolutely. And should. Whatever team trades for Brandon Ayuk, you could think, like, this is a guy who should get 160, 180 targets a year, not 100.
I have enjoyed just seeing online, listening to Steelers fans. What are they saying about Brandon Ayuk? Because I like to get outside the bubble a little bit and hear what other people think of 49ers players. Some of them are like, we got to get this guy. He, you said, he's underutilized. And a lot of them are like, why don't we just draft somebody? He'll be cheaper and he could probably produce the same way. So they go back and forth on it just like we do.
I mean, look at it this way. Last year, he had 105 targets. Puka Nacua, who's very good, very good player, 160 targets.
Oof.
And deserved them. He did great stuff with that. But to me, Ayuk is a better player than Puka Nacua. And if Puka Nacua is getting 160 targets a season, Ayuk could be getting 170. So a team that has those kind of targets to dole out should be interested in Brandon Ayuk. And frankly, the Niners aren't that team. They're not. Maybe they'll be able to give him 160 targets in a couple of years, but not as long as they have Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey on this team.
I would agree. And there's no sign of really that changing anytime soon. Matt McCune says, I agree with Grant about Pitt. The noise around Pitt's wide receiver, zero effort, lazy, don't block. Brandon Ayuk would immediately change that culture. There's no negatives about Brandon Ayuk. He doesn't usually kick up a fuss. He plays hard. He runs good routes. There's no negative. And he's young too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's just expensive.
You watch. If Ayuk gets traded, watch the amount of 49er fans that are going to be, well, he's not that good. We don't really need him anyway. What did he do in the Super Bowl? Immediate reaction.
Immediately. Yeah, well, that's what fans do. Support their team.
If they traded Ayuk, would you want them to go wide receiver in the first round, or would you still say go offensive line?
Well, if they trade Ayuk, they would theoretically have two picks in the first round.
True.
So what they could do is take an offensive lineman with that pick that they acquire for Ayuk and then draft a wide receiver with their first round pick, 31. That would make sense. Because again, they took Ayuk right around that spot. So if you want to replace Ayuk, you might feel like you could get a similar talent right around that spot.
I've seen people say you should trade Ayuk for Minkah Fitzpatrick. The Niners do seem like they need a safety. There are a lot of good safeties on the free agent market, though. That's the thing. You can get all pro safeties on the free agent market. So I don't know that you need to trade Ayuk for a safety.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
He is.
He is. Interesting. Still, though, do you need a 27, almost 28-year-old safety, or do you need a young cornerstone offensive tackle? I don't know. I mean, maybe that offensive tackle isn't there. The Niners did pick McGlinchey over Minkah Fitzpatrick once upon a time. So you don't want to make that mistake twice.
Well, I mean, McGlinchey wasn't terrible. It's just, you know, I keep seeing that nugget that Bosa is the only first-round pick in the Shanahan regime that has gotten a second contract.
He wasn't the best player available.
Agreed.
By a long shot.
100% agree. But I still kind of agree with the philosophy of if you think that there is a bookend tackle, choosing that tackle over a safety. I do agree with that.
I think the Niners thought that McGlinchey was going to end up transitioning to left tackle and replacing Joe Staley. And when they got him, they realized, oh, nope, right tackle only. And that's a problem at pick number 10.
Yeah, that's the other part of it, too, though. If you do get a tackle, hopefully they, you know, go under the wing of Trent Williams. He seems willing to help people. That, I mean, because everything we heard was that Joe Staley really helped Mike McGlinchey. So hopefully they can keep that going because whoever they pick, I mean, Trent's probably going to only play a couple more years. So they're going to have to make that transition.
Right. That's a good point. So if they could trade up and get a guy who could play right tackle for a year or two and then move to left tackle, that would be a dream. Hard to find guys like that. You really got to take them in the top 20.
This draft is going to be so important for the 49ers. And it's got to be, not only do you have to hit on the players, but you got to get immediate contributions. No redshirting people, nothing. You got to get it. To me, you have to get at least two players in this draft that can contribute in a significant way in 2024. And if you don't do that with 10 picks and possibly Ayuk as a trade asset, then you failed. And I seriously question whether or not you can make another legitimate run at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, their last two drafts haven't been great. They got Jair Brown, Brock Purdy. Great. Other than that, nothing much. The team's getting really old. So not only do they need their young, their rookies to step up and make an immediate impact, they need some of the guys from the last two drafts to do something. Jackson, Spencer Burford. You know, a lot of these guys need to step up. And I'm not saying they won't, but they haven't, a lot of them haven't been given opportunity. Some of them have. They need to step up. This team is old.
Now is the time, and we'll see if they actually do. I hope that they do. Of course, we'll be here with you throughout all of it. So like and subscribe to both channels, the Gold Standard YouTube channel and the Grant Cohn YouTube channel. There's more than 2,000 people, more than 2,100 people watching us right now, which is fantastic. Thanks for sticking with us through some of Grant's internet issues.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. You got
it. It was a rough day.
You got to drop the "Do you know who I am?" on the internet company or the power company, whoever it was.
Yeah. You've never heard of me? I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm Grant Cohn. By the way, one more reminder, please go to goldstandardniners.com, vote in the 49ers Media Madness Tournament. Again, today is the last day of round one. So if you want to vote for your favorite content creators, go do it now because people will be eliminated after today. And we'll keep that going, of course. Every round is 3 days. So every 3 days, the round will advance and you'll see who makes the next round. Click on the names so you see the Twitter profiles, you see where people are from, you can see their work, some of the things they've been writing or tweeting or podcasting. Go check it out because there are a ton of great 49ers content creators out there and you will be a better, smarter fan. Grant, what do you have going on for the rest of the day?
Errands, writing, work, you know, various chores. And then I got Jesse at 6 o'clock tonight, 49ers After Dark. That'll be fun.
Tell Jesse not to be bitter about losing to Kyle Posey in round one.
Oh, he can be bitter if he wants. I'd be bitter too.
Enjoy the rest here.
I think you have something against Jesse. Then I'm going to be in Orlando this weekend and next week for the owners' meeting. So that should be interesting.
I want behind the scenes stories when you get back. I want to know everything that's going on there.
Okay, I will. I'll just be recording everything right here.
Yes.
Right here.
Mental notes. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk.